Robert Shaw, prime time. Prime time Robert Shaw. He'd be just the same amount of crazy and a little more drunk. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Brothers Movie Factory. I'm your host, Ben. With me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory.
The person who has lifeless eyes, the blackest eyes, like Adele's eyes.
What if Robert Shaw did play Loomis?
Would it be better? Robert Shaw played Dr. Loomis like Captain Quint? He'd be the same amount of crazy.
He'd be the same amount of crazy. He'd probably... Probably catch him and kill him for 10. Robert Shaw, prime time. Prime time Robert Shaw. He'd be just the same amount of crazy and a little more drunk. He'd be like, isn't there one where he's like an alcoholic? Is that the remakes, Rob Zombie remakes?
That sounds about right. He's probably a drug user or something.
Yeah, he becomes like super successful and an asshole. Yes. But anyways, indeed, boo, here we are. Happy Halloween, all yens out there. Spooky month it is, and I am your host, Ben. As always, Gus, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory, joining me over there. And what we do here on the pod every week, we take a film, we then watch said film, and then we take to the pod to discuss said film. What we liked, what we didn't, what worked, what didn't. That is when we take the movie and submit it to the factory. That's where we take the film we just watched, and we imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Same story. Same everything other than the modern booking. We add in the modern booking for a modern audience. But things have been changing as we've been going through the years, doing animated movies, imagine what they would look like live, baby, live, doing new movies and imagine what they would look like old. And also doing little discussions here and there, or even pondering questions, which we're gonna do today. So, as I said, Halloween, spooky month, here we are. We've watched many iconic films through the years on the podcast here. We've watched Dracula. We've watched Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman. We've watched The Thing. And, you know, we've even watched Tremors, the spookiest of the spooky. But here we are watching my favorite Halloween movie. I think one of the best, if not the best, Halloween movie of all time. And that is Halloween, the original, 1978.
Indeed.
Boom.
Indeed. You know, we've just entered our fourth year of the Brothers Movie Factory, and it kind of baffles me that we've done three October spooky months and have not done Halloween.
That first year, we didn't do, any truly spooky movies. I guess we did Dracula. It was pretty creepy. Yeah,
we did The Exorcist, Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors. What are you talking about? Tremors.
We look at those four movies. Tremors, Nightmare on Elm Street, Dream Warriors, Dracula, and The Exorcist. Three of those films are not like the other.
Yeah, that was your choice.
Hey, Tremors was a good choice. It's a spooky movie.
Good choice. Yeah, but it baffles me we haven't dipped our toe into Halloween and had discussion on it, because as you said, It's one of your favorites, if not your favorite, Halloween spooky time go-to watch. It is one of mine as well. I can't remember a year where I haven't at least popped it on in quite some time. Maybe last year. Last year I did. Last year I kind of did a little bit of a Halloween spooktacular. I did the original, I did Halloween 2, and I did the 2018 sequel remake or whatever, what have you. Retcon.
It's a remake, right? The 2018 version just imagines like it went Halloween and then the remake or the reboot.
Right.
Yeah? So it's Halloween 2 never happened.
So it's a remake of the sequel, I suppose.
Yeah.
And then this year, just rewatched Halloween yet again, and I talked to you the following day, and I even mentioned that, you know, I watched this movie, seen it a billion times, yet, like, I was even, you know, gandering at my phone here and there.
Gallivanting around.
As soon as the movie's over, I go to get a glass of water, open the door, and it's dark in my house. I'm like, ugh.
Yep.
The shape lurks.
You start walking down the stairs and you hear bump, bump, bump.
I'm trying bump. Not to.
No, I would even go. I would even go as far to say on my own personal, this might be top 10 movies of all time for me. Because I do love this movie. It is one of those where I can watch it again and again and again. I don't even know what just happened to me. I was trying to say again and again and again, and I went, again.
Jimmy Stewart took over.
Yeah. Well, geez, if Jimmy Stewart was in this movie, he'd drop him off the building. He wouldn't be able to jump off the balcony. I have unlimited praise for this movie, because I honestly can watch it again and again and again, and it's one of those where I look at it and I really can't find a flaw. Like, I would struggle to find any type of glaring flaw where it's like, this isn't, you know, it's hard for me to say anyone could watch this movie and say it isn't scary. I was telling you, I've shown my wife this movie literally like every year we've been together, and I always thought she thought it was dumb because it's old. And we've watched the remake, which I think the remake is obviously not the most recent one, with the Rob Zombie remake, which is a pretty faithful adaptation in that it uses all the same music, and it just adds a little bit of flair to the story, I suppose, but it's still pretty brutal.
We'll get into that one here in a bit.
Yeah, but I've shown her that one, which I would think, you know, someone who doesn't really like old movies would be more scared of that one. But this one I found out this year, she really, really messes with her. Her heart was going.
So you always thought she just didn't like it, but it turns out she's just spooked out by it.
Yeah, pretty much. That's the thing, is I think it's just such an expertly made slasher film. It's different, though, than any other slasher film, and then it's really, really smart. It's really smart in how it does things, and how its pacing is super ingenious, and even its setting is really smart. Everything about it is just really, really expertly crafted by John Carpenter, right down to the music, and like I said, the pacing and the stalking. Because sure, like, Jason stalks, right? Freddy Krueger is an ingenious idea because, you know, you don't want to go to bed. Chucky is this doll that comes to life, yeah? But, like, Michael Myers, he's just always in the background. And there's something, like, I always thought a flaw that my wife pointed out was, no one sees him. No one sees him standing there. And I'm like, no, that's the point. Like, it makes you uncomfortable. Like, he's standing there watching from behind a tree or watching from behind a bush. And some people notice him, but then he disappears, and it makes you uncomfortable. Or, you know, no one sees him, and it makes you even more uncomfortable, because you're like, look at him. It's like the classic, turn around. He's, like, right there. It's so smart and well done that everything, even a flaw, something where someone could say, oh, it's a flaw because it's stupid, no one sees him, like, someone would see him. That's the point, is it makes you really uncomfortable.
Hey, that Tommy Doyle sees him. He sees a boogeyman
across the street. Even that's good, though, because it's like, yeah, he's us. He, like, Tommy Doyle portrays us. It's like, it's the boogeyman. It's the boogeyman. It's like, there he is. Look out the door. And they look, and then there's no one there.
Yeah. This movie masterfully executes the atmosphere. You know what I mean? Like, it establishes the atmosphere so well, and just the tone they're going for with the music and that small town vibe, just the look of everything. You know, what also kind of creeps me out about this movie is the town of Haddonfield, where this movie, you know, occurs, eerily similar to our hometown.
Yeah, I told my wife that you thought that, and she's like, yeah, it's... She's what she say. She's like, it's just it's small town USA, I guess. And I was like, I never clicked with me. I'm like, that's kind of interesting in and of itself. That's why I said the setting is really expertly crafted. It's that this could happen anywhere. Like, yep. it's any town. It's literally the prime setting for this movie is a house, two houses, really, on a street in small town USA. That's it. It's not on some camp in the woods. It's not in a dreamscape. You know, it's just in two houses.
Don't knock the dreamscape, because every town has an Elm Street.
Shit, that's good. it's just something that I don't know. It makes it, again, that makes it even more scary, because something that my wife tells me all the time, and the reason I keep bringing her up is because I usually don't watch horror movies by myself. It's usually with her. But something that she said was, these are the movies that scare her the most. Even though there's like a supernatural element to Michael Myers in this movie, when there really wasn't necessarily supposed to be, it was more like he just kept coming. And she said, like, he wouldn't survive all this. So, like, but it's these types where it's like, this could happen. He's just a guy that's stalking, waiting for his best moment to kill someone, right? In a very vicious, ruthless fashion. And that's, you know, similar idea with this, or one of the things, I guess, what I'm saying, that makes you more uncomfortable is, like, you're sitting there and you're like, this could be any town in the United States. And it makes you even more creeped out by that fact.
I mean, the original title for this movie was, The Babysitter Murders.
Stupid. But I can see why.
Yeah. And,
the name's perfect.
Yeah, Halloween is perfect, and it's amazing that cinema had been around for, you know, damn near 70 years at that point, and no one had ever named a movie Halloween.
Yeah.
So
it's amazing that no one ever named a movie Nightmare on Elm Street. I mean, hell.
Every town has an Elm Street.
Yeah. Child's Play. Come on now.
So, yeah, the title's perfect, but accompanied by the film that you get with it just adds something to it. This movie's very eerie. It's the main antagonist, and Michael Myers is not only iconic, but in this film, very, so eerie in that in the credits, he's even in there as the shape.
Yeah. You know?
He's not a real person. He's an embodiment of evil.
Evil!
And John Carpenter, the director himself, he did not want anyone to relate to Michael Myers in any way. He tried to make him devoid of humanity as much as possible. To make him more unknown, more terrifying. And, just to really sink in with people. That's kind of ultimately why they chose that iconic mask.
Yeah.
So initially they went to a store to buy a mask, and this movie was very low budget. It was an independent film. It was made for $300,000, which by today's standards is not enough money to do anything with in like big league cinema, let alone back then. And, so they went to this store, and they were between two masks. One was like a Don Post smiling clown mask, and they almost went with that because it was kind of reminiscent to the opening scene.
Yeah, I was going to say, did they maybe use that for that? But
and a Captain Kirk mask.
The Shat.
William Shatner-esque mask. And, The main reason they went with the Captain Kirk mask is because it costs $1.
$1. And thanks, mister. And it's just, it's terrifying because it doesn't look like him at all. I mean, they did some alterations, but even I've seen the real mask and it doesn't look like the Shat.
Yeah, it's a poorly done William Shatner face, but yeah, they
got them into a lot of trouble, correct?
Oh, yeah, they don't have the likeness rights to William Shatner, so that's why after the second one, all the following Halloween movies, all the faces always look different. Even the newest one, the 2018, even, you know,
we're recording on this day later this week, Halloween Kills is coming out. That mask is still not the original mask. They don't have the rights to the William Shatner face. So, but it looks pretty close.
Yeah.
But yeah, they painted it white. They dyed the hair. They removed the eyebrows. And they tried to give the face just void of emotion, yeah. I guess, you know.
Yeah, no, it's perfect. It's
very effective, yeah.
Everything, though, too. Even the overalls. Or the coveralls. The coveralls, rather. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You said earlier that you have trouble finding flaws with this movie. I can name one instantly.
Is it the opening sequence? After the opening sequence, when they're driving to the insane asylum, and Michael climbs on top of the car and it goes quee.
No,
and it's kind of out of place with the rest of the movie.
It fits right in. It's what's her name? Tina. Is that her name?
You gonna say because she says totally so much?
Nah, maybe not that one. That one, that's just more annoying.
Nah, but that's Annie. Like, I can't wait for her to die.
Yeah, I think it's Annie.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Her what? Acting is not the best.
You don't like her? I don't mind her.
Oh my god.
Lindsay! Mimsy!
She's like, what was the line? I can't remember the line. It was so awful. She's like, fuck, it's about the dog. She's like, that dog this time totally scared me this time. Like, she said the word twice in a row.
I'm about to be mauled by the family dog. Woof. Lindsay, that dog's in here.
Yeah, it had to do...
Never mind.
She's awful.
And then it shows the dog dying. It's like... wife said that was the saddest part of the movie. Dog dies off screen.
Michael Myers has been known to kill many a dog in his movies.
He kills two in this movie, just one off screen.
Yeah, he does not.
And he
like
eats it,
dog.
According to Loomis. He says he's hungry.
That's right.
He killed and ate a dog. I think even that could be something, though. You mentioned that you wanted John Carter. Like, even that, if you're like getting into it, it's like, he killed a dog and ate it, and that's like something that is taboo to people in general. Like, even if you were to like go to a country where maybe they did that or prepared it that way or something like that, like, this is just a man came into a neighborhood in small town USA, killed someone's dog, and then ate it because he was hungry. Like, that there, you know nothing about Michael Myers. Literally, the only thing you know about him in this movie is that he killed his sister, and you don't know why, and you're never told why. And then you're told that he is devoid of emotion. There's nothing there. He just wants to kill, and that's it. That's literally all you know about them. Them trying to fill out his backstory through the remainder of the films hurt things. Because it was better when you didn't know. Because he was just this embodiment of evil, this shape that made you uncomfortable. Because there was no rhyme or reason to what he was doing. And that was what was creepy about it. Whereas now there's all these reasons and all these, you know, thoughts behind why he does what he does. And it's not needed. And that's just a fault of cinema, so to speak, is that they always feel like they need to explain why things are the way they are.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest fault in the series comes in the sixth movie, The Curse of Michael Myers, where it really explains that Michael is in a cult, the cult of Thorn.
Michael!
And he was selected like by these fucking pagans to carry out this ritual of evil to kill
his...
to kill his entire family. That's why he's after, you know, his family members, and that's why he can't be killed, that's why he can't be stopped, because he's got this cult power flowing through his veins.
Attaboy. That sounds like a WWE tag team. Cult power. But
it's awful. And that's a fine example why they decided to kind of retcon all the sequels in 2018. With
I was going
to
say, because after that, they did H2O, which is a cool name.
Yeah, and that movie's not awful. It just doesn't feel much like a Halloween movie. It feels more like, late 90s, early 2000s slasher film. More like Scream than Halloween. You know?
It's a cool idea. It's a cool idea, like... They go into this famous house to record a reality show, and then this killer.
No, that's Resurrection.
Oh, that's Halloween Resurrection? I thought that was H2O.
No, H2O is with Jamie Lee Curtis, and she's like the dean at a university. She changed her name, moved, to a different state. She's been in hiding for 20 years, has a son. And, she's just, it's kind of like what they were doing with the newest one, but like, she always assumed one day he'd come back, and you know what he does? He comes to kill. At this point, you know that Laurie Strode is Michael Myers' sister.
Yeah.
So yeah, and
I
now
think
it's...
I have seen that one. Does that one have something where the there's like a guard at a gate or something?
LL Cool J.
Yeah, it's a creepy scene.
Yeah, that's that one. My biggest problem with that movie, besides that it exists, is Michael Myers, his mask, there's no, you see his eyes the whole time. There's no like black eye holes. It's like
black eyes,
just a dude. What I read about that movie recently was they filmed the whole movie, and then near the end they're like, this mask we're using is awful, and it was. So they reshot almost all the scenes with Michael Myers in the shot with a different mask, except for one time they didn't have enough time, so they CGI'd the mask, and it's awful.
I think I've seen that before.
Yeah, that's H2O. Resurrection is a sin against humanity, and yes, it's a reality TV show inside the Myers house, and it's like, who can spend a night in the Myers house? But Michael is like living in the basement. And he killed off Laurie Strode in the opening scene of the movie. So now he's just like sitting in his basement. And then now he's killing all these teenagers in this reality TV show. And has like Busta Rhymes.
You're like, isn't this See No Evil with Kane?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's junk.
Yeah, it's that's how those slasher movies. Because the slasher movie formula is so simple, and that's why it worked. But then it became overused. And that's why I said Halloween, I think, is above and beyond the smartest slasher film from that era of slasher films. Like, Scream is immensely smart. It reinvigorated the horror genre.
Oh yeah, it was so meta. And everything.
Yeah.
Hey, get your mush into that microphone.
I'm like right next to it.
Okay. I can't tell.
I'm watching my levels. I'm here.
I'm watching the sports games here.
Yeah. And but yeah, I mean, that's the thing though, is what I'm saying is I think it's above and beyond the smartest slasher movie. And for a lot of the reasons that we just mentioned, but also that's why these sequels tended to suffer over time, was because they became more and more similar to the other films in that genre, that it was just all generic at that point. Where with Halloween, it was really unique in that you didn't need this killer backstory. You didn't really need to, like, all the characters weren't just assholes. Like, you didn't, and you kind of could relate to a lot of the different characters throughout, whether or not they like were doing something wrong, right? By those, like, those days standards or whatever it may be. I don't know, little things. And we talked about Scream. We mentioned Scream and how apt that, Scream 5's trailer dropped today. But, in Scream, probably, obviously, the most referenced movie in Scream is Halloween. Right down to there's a scene in Scream where, Halloween is playing, and they're all watching it at a party at Shaggy's house. I think it's Shaggy's house. Is that Shaggy's house?
I'll be right back.
I think it's, or is it at Rose McGowan's? It's Rose McGowan's house.
It's not Nancy's house? No, that's not Nancy. That's her
you think
name.
It's Sydney?
Sydney, yeah.
Is it at Sydney's house?
I think so.
I don't know. But anyways, I haven't watched Scream yet this year. I'll watch it soon. There's a whole scene of that. And this movie just pays Halloween... pays homage to a couple other movies. The one that I always respect the most and enjoy the most, and I think I told you about this once, but John Carpenter loved the movie Psycho, and he kind of wanted to have a little homage to that in this. And so it's the scene toward the very end where Laurie gets herself into that little closet, which I don't, was there our grandma that lived in our hometown, did she have a closet that was kind of like that, or was it our other grandma that had a closet that was like rickety like that you could like go in? I feel like maybe
one who lived in the hometown.
And that always creeped me out. But
hey, listen, I have a closet like that now.
Yeah, I don't think wicked. don't hide in it and tie a belt around it and think it'll work. This man literally got stabbed in the neck and was fine, and you're hoping he stays out by that. But it's that scene where he busts in into the closet and he's reaching for her, and the light's going back and forth, and that was the end, the final scenes of Psycho, when he is finally caught, and the famous, he comes in with the knife and it's revealed that he's the killer. The light switch is going.
You're right, right. I knew he wanted to pay homage to Psycho. You know, maybe the most famous slasher movie of all time in Psycho. Jamie Lee Curtis was not his first pick to play Laurie Strode, the lead female of this movie. It was her first movie.
Yeah, she's perfect.
She is. She is the daughter of Janet Leigh, who is perceived as the main character throughout the first half of Psycho, the woman who prays victim in the famous shower scene in Psycho. That's Jamie Lee Curtis's mother. So, you know, it was almost fitting for him to be like, you know what, why? Actually, I'm going to have you in my movie.
Yeah, and she's great. And now, I mean, Jamie Lee Curtis, while she's famous for many other movies, I mean, she's in this, and she's in, is it Prom Night that she's in? She's in one other slasher movie.
Oh, she was in a slew of horror movies. After, she did Halloween, and she did, I think, three or four more in a row after this.
Yeah, I think Prom Night is her other big prominent one, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't remember the other ones. There was like three. And then she did Halloween 2, and she said, she's like, I will never do a horror movie again. She did not want to be known as the horror movie Scream Queen, as she was claimed to be.
Yeah.
And she stayed away from horror up until, I think, H2O and Halloween Resurrection. I don't know the details behind her coming back for that, but then she was done. And then she came back for this. And, you know, it's amazing is she's been in so many great movies, classics, you know, Trading Places, True Lies, Freaky Friday. But she said in an interview that when she passes someday, the article will read Halloween actress found dead or dies.
Hmm.
Like, she'll always be known as Laurie Strode in Halloween.
I mean, I would hope it's not, doesn't say something like Christmas of a Crank Star passes. I just looked up a list of her top 10 horror movies that she was in, and there's a lot of Halloweens, obviously, but maybe you were thinking of John Carpenter's The Fog. She was also in The Fog.
Yeah.
She was in Scream, a movie called Road Games, Halloween 2 she was in 81, another movie called Terror Train, Prom Night, H2O, Virus, and Halloween Resurrection. Obviously, she does a phenomenal job in this movie. She's very believable. She also is your classic sympathetic hero, so to speak. You kind of feel for her. And they do all the little things. Like, you know, they say it in Scream. They announce all the rules of a horror movie. You know, you can't have sex. You got to be virgin. Never say you'll be right back. I mean, two of those rules are broken by the couple that gets killed. The one guy has a fantastic slasher kill when he gets pinned to the board. But right before he leaves, he says, "I'll be right back." There's like a lot of those rules.
It was not the intent of John Carpenter to invoke these tropes.
No, that's not what I'm saying, though. What I'm more or less saying is it's more like I feel like it's saying that these could all be anyone. These could all be anyone. Sure. But Lori was more focused on saving these kids, protecting these kids, and, you know, surviving. She was more aware. When you look at, like, all... Because Michael Myers in Halloween, I was mentioning this to my wife, is he only kills four people. I say only, obviously, it's a movie, but he kills four people in that movie. He kills the guy that he takes the coveralls from, which is off-screen. Then he kills... what's her name? He kills her in the car. Annie. Kills Annie in the car, and then he kills the Totally girl and her boyfriend. And he kills those four people.
And Judith Myers.
Technically. Well, Judith Myers was his mom, wasn't it?
That's his sister.
Sister.
Opening scene.
Yeah, opening scene is Judith. I was thinking that was his mom's name. He like stalks them and gets them right at the perfect time, where Lori is the only one that gets away, and it's kind of like her situation is much different. It's not because she like didn't have sex or didn't drink. There's her whole scenario is different than everyone else. So it's not necessarily her trope, but they do set it up that way.
That's what I was going to get at. Like, it wasn't his intent to invoke those tropes. I believe, like, those tropes started with this movie. Like, don't say I'll be right back. You know, don't have sex or you die. The virgin character will live. It was, like, the Friday the 13th movies and things, copycat movies after that even, that really enforce those things to become tropes. Yeah, it. What's interesting to me about Halloween too, you were kind of getting at it with how many people he kills, and it's known as a slasher movie. Other than the opening scene, there's no blood in this movie.
Yeah,
like you don't see a knife slash and blood spray out ever in the movie.
No,
which is kind of crazy to think about, especially with the sequels of this movie and movies like it. Or have been inspired by it. They rely on the gore, rely on the kills and the special effects and what's done to create those things. This one didn't need that, and it's still very effective. I was going to say, is that this movie? Texas Chainsaw Massacre is also that way. There's no blood in that movie.
Never actually seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
You should check out the original. It's pretty good.
No blood. Not scary at all. I honestly, though, like, all those things that we've mentioned are what makes this movie great. And one more thing, you know, even that, like, no blood, like, it's just not needed. It's unnecessary. Sometimes that's, and, you know, a lot of times that's true. You don't want to make something gory for gory's sake, which kind of became a trend with the Saw movies and everything like that. It's very much a less is more. I mean, a lot of his kills aren't necessarily with that knife. He does kill... I guess he kills Judith with a knife, and then he ultimately slits Annie's throat in the car, which I actually never picked up on. I always thought he just choked her to death, but this time I noticed that he, like, does it real fast. And then he strangles, I keep forgetting her name.
Yeah, I keep wanting to say Tina, but that's another one. Let's see. Oh, I just had it. She's disappearing. It is Linda.
Linda, and then her boyfriend, Tommy. No, not Tommy. Tommy's the kid.
All or something?
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, ultimately, it's just, it's not needed to have all this blood and gore when it's just as scary without it. John Carpenter is just a masterclass at, you know, especially at this time, he was just making, you know, hit after hit by today's standards. You know, obviously at the time, some of his movies weren't looked on. I mean, we talked about The Thing last year, wasn't exactly seen as like this big popular film. But nowadays, and
most of his movies are hindsight cult classics.
Yeah. But something that I want to, and I have to talk about with this movie is, nothing, you know, this movie is the embodiment to me of the season of Halloween. It's creepy. It has this vibe to it the entire movie. It doesn't, like, use any filter or anything like that to invoke this sort of emotion on you or something, make it look dimmer than it is, which I hate. That's, like, my least favorite filter on movies now is when they, like, let's make it seem gritty. Let's make it really dark looking all the time. Like, it's about to rain, even though it's sunny. Like, I hate that. This movie doesn't need that. It just feels, you know, you can almost smell, like, Halloween and fall from watching this movie. Like, the candy and all that stuff. You can, it's like, I don't know. It just sets it up. It's so tonally there. And something that helps with all of that, in my opinion, is the music in this movie. The Halloween theme alone is horror incarnate to me. Like, the Jaws theme is one of the greatest suspense pieces of music in history, right? You hear that song. If I'm in the water and that song starts playing in my head, I'm dead. Halloween theme's the same way. I mean, that song starts playing. The ending of this movie, when that song starts playing, is pure horror. The start of this movie, as soon as it starts and it's showing that pumpkin and zooming in, I mean, you're ready to go. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about that theme. And it's just the epitome of the season of Halloween, I think, is this the music throughout. And the thing about it, as you know, the thing about this movie entirely, is it's so simple. Like, this movie, one of the things that makes this movie great is its simplicity. And its music, in and of itself, is extraordinarily simple. And that's what's so good about it.
Absolutely. I mean, the music's done by John Carpenter, even. He did the music for all his movies, pretty much. You know,
gotta save money.
This movie, as you said, it's simplistic concept, but rich in atmosphere and techniques and such. Another shining light on this movie was the inclusion of Donald Pleasance as character Dr. Sam Loomis. He brings some class to this movie. He, like, brings some gravitas to Halloween. Yeah. His monologues about evil and his monologues regarding Michael Myers being a young boy and, you know, growing up and being just the shell, this vessel of evil and such. And just the way he realistically and believably, you know, executes these monologues, you just believe it wholeheartedly. And he's this famous English actor. He just brings, like I said, some gravitas to this movie. He filmed everything in 5 days. He's only in this movie for 18 minutes. No, it's not a long movie. It's an hour and a half or so, but he feels like he's in it a lot more than 18 minutes. But
I mean, a year prior to this movie, Alec Guinness did the same thing to a whole different genre with Star Wars. adding some gravitas and making it a little more, I don't know, legit, so to speak, to a sci-fi movie. You know, you're bringing in this English actor who's well-known, and now all of a sudden, you know, it adds this little flair. It feels a little more, you know, high-end. And this is before the time where, you know, you had people, they'll do whatever for money, you know, Bob De Niro style. The Donald Pleasance is great in this movie. His portrayal of as Loomis is really good, and it's not, I almost said heartwarming, but he's a great character in that he's almost been driven insane or paranoid. He's a, you know, psychologist, and he is completely paranoid by Michael Myers. One of the great moments that he has is one of his first, when the nurse that he's driving with in the car is like, "And you really don't want him to get out?" And he's like, "Never, ever, ever." I'm like, "That's good." Like, you can feel the fear. He delivers most of his lines when he's talking about Michael with a sense of fear, which is really cool, because he has done nothing. When you really get down to his character, he has done nothing but try and talk to this person. And all Michael had ever done was nothing and murder his sister. Those are the two things he had done. And those events and scared Loomis enough to know that he was, you know, this vicious killer, this ruthless person. And that's kind of ingenious in and of itself.
Yes, you definitely get the more manic, crazy Dr. Loomis in the sequels, starting in Halloween 2. Yeah, Halloween 2. "I shot him 6 times, Sheriff. 6 times. And he gets up and walks away. And then later
he's not getting up. Not with 2 barrels in him, he won't."
Maybe Robert Shaw should have played it. Brought some pan ass to this movie.
Yeah. Chief. But, I put 2 barrels in him, Chief.
I'm gonna run through the series here and just ask you how long it's been since you've seen them. Halloween 2.
4 years. Exactly. I know that because the last time I watched it, I was at my first Pittsburgh apartment. 4 years.
Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, with Michael Myers.
That time we watched it on TV.
Yeah, I think that was the last time I watched
it. When I was a little child.
I need to revisit that movie.
All I remember about that movie is the scene where the dummy, it's one of the guys in the Men in Black, so to speak, but the dummy gets like pinned between two cars.
Yeah.
That's all I remember. And I remember there's a moment where you like see someone's legs, and I remember you being like, "That's Michael Myers."
I saw it when I was a kid, Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. I'm like, Halloween's Michael Myers, so he's going to show up somewhere. Watch that whole damn movie. He never showed up.
Yeah, you're like, this sucks.
Yeah, on that alone, I said it sucks. That's why I want to revisit it and maybe watch it through some different eyes.
I've heard people say it's not as bad.
Yeah, it's they had the idea to make Halloween an anthology. So make it like just different stories that could take place on Halloween night. But that proved to not be what people wanted.
No.
So I'd maybe want to revisit that. Halloween 4, Return of Michael Myers.
The last time I watched Return of Michael Myers, is that the one with the car when he crawls in the car?
Yeah.
All right. So I told you, but that used to be like one of my biggest childhood fears. The last time I watched it was in college. I didn't watch all of it. I caught it at that scene. Like, I was in college. It was my first year, freshman year of college, in my dorm, put on Chiller or something. They had one of those horror movie channels. And on cable, and that scene came on, and I was so enticed by it because it was something that I knew scared me as a kid so much that I watched that all the way to the end. So that's like, what, like 15, 20 minutes left?
Yeah.
That I watched right that by one? The end. That's all I watched. Which is plenty for that movie.
I actually like the fourth one a bit. I'm a little nostalgic for it. It's probably the one I saw the most growing up. Like when you're a kid and catch it on AMC and it's edited for TV, you know? Yeah. They played 4 and 5 a lot, probably because they were cheaper to put on than Halloween. Michael Myers' mask in that movie is pretty bad, though. It's way too clean, like super white and just
stupid face on it.
Hey, now they're way too dirty.
I like it dirty. Halloween 5, Revenge of Michael Myers.
Never seen it.
You've never seen the fifth?
Paul Rudd and all. Never seen it.
Nah, that's the sixth one.
Never seen that one either.
So the fifth one has a couple things that it's famous for. One, he uses a variety of farming equipment to kill people. Scythe, like a little pitchfork of sorts. He has an awful mask in that movie, but its most famous scene, and it scared me to death when I was a kid, is when Jamie Lloyd, who plays, what's her name? I don't remember. Laurie Strode's daughter in the movie, and she's crawling through an air duct in Michael Myers' house, and he's stabbing through the air duct, and it's pretty spooky. Or maybe it's a laundry chute. It's a laundry chute. And he's stabbing through it. It's pretty spooky. Halloween 6, as you said, you haven't seen. Yeah, that's for the best. It's smut. H2O, you don't remember too well.
No.
Resurrection.
Last thing, H2O, you said, is the one where she's at the school. I watched that 2-3 years ago on TV, and it was that scene that I was mentioning where it was like the booth. I was like, what movie is this?
Resurrection.
Never.
In a minute. And then we get into Rob Zombie territory. Or how about 2007 remake?
So it would have been in high school still. I have no desire to go back and watch that. However, what's funny is in high school, I liked that one better than the original Halloween. Because in high school, when I was kind of getting into horror movies, I was actually having this conversation with my wife the other night. I was talking about how I hated horror movies. Hated horror movies, did not like them. You used to watch them all the time, especially during the season. We only had one TV that had TV. And during Halloween spooky season, I didn't want to be by myself. So I would sit next to the TV in the Halloween, as Gus was watching Halloween movies.
You were curious about what was happening, too.
I was curious about all the death and to be scared. But I didn't like horror movies. And it wasn't until high school when I started having friends over that it was like an event. Like, hey, let's all get together and watch a horror movie and, like, be collectively scared. It'll be fun. And that was when it, like, the fun of watching a horror movie started to come in. And I, because of the nature of Halloween, the Rob Zombie remake, being a lot more brutal, a lot more more modernized, a little more depth to the character. For my young mind, I was like, this is better because it's all these things, right? It's more vicious. He's and all these different things, but it's not. I don't have any desire to go back and watch that version because I firmly believe the original is better, and it's also very, very, very close. In terms, all they did really is it would be like the equivalent of them re-releasing the original Halloween with like deleted scenes. That's kind of what this one is. Is like they added more background to Michael Myers, and that the first like 30 minutes of the movie is his childhood. Not
more, I think it's more than that.
But like they kind of flesh out
the movie.
Yeah, they flesh out him a little more. Laurie's not as Laurie's a little more troubled. Not even troubled. That's wrong. Laurie's a little more. She's not like this goody two shoes in this movie as much. But also, it's just ultimately, I feel that if you're going to watch one, it's kind of like they say, like, why would you watch the book versus the movie, right? The book's way better than the movie. Like, this original movie is so much better than this remake, which is almost a shot-for-shot remake, but it's very similar in its story structure and everything, just adding a bunch of new story elements. The best thing about the new one, or the Rob Zombie remake, was that he used the original music.
Yeah, you know, I was in the same boat as you. When I was in high school, I loved this Rob Zombie remake. And it wasn't until I was in college, maybe, that I realized, like, maybe I don't like that one as much. To now, here I am sitting here today, I can say I hate Rob Zombie's Halloween.
I hate them.
You know, you said it explains like Michael Myers' backstory. Not only does it explain it, it like exploits it. It's like way too much backstory on it. It's void of what the character was meant to be. It like takes it all away. It gives you reason to sympathize with this crazy, you know, killer, this embodiment of evil is what he was portrayed to be, having like a troubled home life, an abusive home life.
Yeah.
And it's just not that it's over the top, but it's just, I don't know. Rob Zombie has a genre of his own called like Kentucky Fried Horror.
Yeah.
And that's what this movie feels like. If I could say Kentucky Fried Horror and whatever comes to your mind, that's it. It's like violence for violence sake. I don't want to see the backstory of Michael Myers in that way. And or at all, like I like not knowing, as we were discussing earlier, but it dedicates way too much time to this unlikable, just all these unlikable characters, all of them for the first hour of this movie. And then what really does this movie in for me that makes me not like it really at all is, and I won't get into it too much, but Michael Myers' escape. The way he escapes the asylum as an adult is because of a brutal and unnecessary rape scene.
Yeah,
that's in the director's cut. That wasn't in the theatrical cut, and the theatrical cut can't be purchased in the United States. It's only the director's cut, which is so odd, and it's overly long and unnecessary and hard to watch. And yeah, it's like stuff like that. And then in the last 45 minutes to an hour is what we know of Halloween, and it uses elements and scenes and moments from the original just done a little differently, and it's just not as effective. It's just different. So yeah, like you said, like why not just watch the original? I don't like it. His sequel is a bizarre art house movie that is also void of what Halloween was.
He did that on purpose though.
Yeah, it's just
he sabotaged that one.
It's just poo-poo caca for me. I mean, not to say like there could be people out there that like these movies, and that's fair and fine. But for me, I'm good.
Yeah, and that, I mean, ultimately too, we can talk about Halloween, the 2018 one. I thought it was very good. I know you were a little mixed on it. I enjoyed it in that. If that's the way they want, if they want to take out all these other ones that are just kind of popcorn horror, right? Even Halloween 2, I know you have a little bit of nostalgia for that. You like Halloween 2.
Halloween 2 is pretty good.
I enjoy Halloween 2 as well. It's just not as good as this one. It has a great setting. A hospital setting is creepy.
And that's where you also find out that Laurie Strode is Michael Myers' baby sister. Yeah. And that's why he's after her.
Yeah. But this one obviously retcons that, because they even say in that one, like, isn't he his sister? Wasn't your grandma his sister? And like, nah, that's just some rumor people on the internet made up. So they even like retcon that. But I thought it was, I mean, obviously it's got some of the modern issues, and it's got some one of the most bizarre, I mean, I like me some bomb me tea, but that's one of the most bizarre scenes in a movie ever. You know what scene I'm talking about?
What part?
So there's a scene in the movie, it's toward the end, when he's been on this killing spree. He's like murdering tons of people. It's like right before he kills a bunch of people, or right after, and there's just these two cops sitting in a car, and they're talking about a sandwich. Yeah, you know? Yeah, and he's just like, you know what this is? It's a bomb meat tea sandwich. And he's explaining it to him, like, this is the most, like, it seemed like one of those things where a producer or the director was like, we need to fit in a scene where they talk about my favorite sandwich. Like, it needs to be in. Put it in.
Yeah, that scene takes place right after a, like, brutal murder I think that's like when Michael does one of my favorite kills where he like pumpkin squashes this dude's head.
Yeah.
Steps right through it. And then it cuts to these two bumbling cops talking about a sandwich.
Yeah. They're like, we need some comic relief in this. But there are some like fantastic moments in that one. I mean, hell, I have an automatic light in my backyard. That scene in this movie with an automatic light, that's creepy as shit. And it's smart too. Like, every time the light goes off, he gets a little closer and a little closer, and then he's there. Like, that's creepy.
I like that. I like everything in the finale, the final scene at the Strode household. I love all of that. Pretty much everything else, don't really care for too much.
Man, the spoiler alert. Spoiler alert for the 2018, because I want to talk about the sequel coming here soon. I know you haven't really watched any of the new trailers, so I won't get into that. I know you did watch the original teaser.
Yes.
And that alone, like, I could have seen nothing else, and I was fully invested. Because at the end of Halloween 2018, they trap Michael in the basement of a house, they set the house on fire, and then they do the classic, the music's playing, you hear the breathing, is he, isn't he? You know, you watch that and you're like, no way he survived that. And that teaser where they're getting taken away in the ambulance and they see the fire trucks go and then they're like yelling, let it burn. I'm like, fucking let's go. It's like, gets you ready. It gives you chills. It's good.
Very excited to see it. Very excited.
I'm curious. I'm so curious to see what direction they take it. And how it goes. I'm assuming this is their final one.
No, there's going to be another one. There's Halloween Kills, and then next year or two
Halloween
years from now,
Dies.
Close. Halloween Ends.
Halloween, Halloween Kills, and then Halloween Town. and then Halloween Town 2, Calabar's Revenge. The Curse of Michael Myers.
I like that. But yeah, it all starts with Halloween. I'm excited to see the new one, even though I just said it didn't really care for the 2018 one too much, but I'm ready to just sit down, shove some popcorn in my face, have some fun, and get a little spooky.
That's on Peacock
and theaters. Yeah, I'm gonna try to catch it on the big screen.
I'll watch it on the cock.
Yeah, that'd be the way to go. I won't be able to. I will be away when it's available on the cock, so I'm going to try to catch an early showing, but we'll see.
Out of the music in this movie, real quick before we get into our factory of it, what theme, like, throughout, what piece of music creeps you out the most?
The Shape Lurks. The ones like, bump. Bum, bum.
Yeah, that's mine too. I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast. I know I've mentioned it to you, but there was a couple weeks ago where my wife worked a night shift and I woke up at like 3 a.m. I went to the bathroom, and this is probably 2 months ago, and I'm walking past my stairs on my way back into the bedroom, and I just glanced down the stairs. And as I glanced down the stairs, for some reason, that song or that piece of music started playing in my head. I was like, shit. I couldn't fall back to sleep because I was creeped out. And so I had to put on Family Guy to fall back to sleep. But that piece of music. And then, like I said, the Halloween theme sticks with me. It creeped me out the other night. I was about to fall asleep, had Family Guy playing, and all of a sudden a commercial for the Halloween Kill started playing. It was going like bing 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 bing. I was like, Jesus, I'm gonna die.
I almost got broken up with a couple months ago. This is before the lady and I were living together. I was going to her apartment. I told her earlier in the day I'd be over at a certain time. She forgot. So I had a key to her place. I come in. She was in the other room drying her hair or something. She didn't know I came in. So I just scurried in, sat in her living room, and I just started playing that piece of music, the Shape Lurks, the bump, 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 as loud as I could. And eventually she cautiously came into the living room to see it was me. But, you know, she had fists up, ready to go, and she was not happy. at all that I was doing that.
Yeah, wife said that she was going to, what, she said she'd pay someone to, like, come out, like, stand in front of our Ring camera in Michael Myers garb. And I was like, well, you better pay him a lot because I'm calling the cops on him. And she was like, no, you wouldn't. I'm like, yes, I would. I would call the cops on them. And then she was like, what happens if I started, like, playing that over the echoes through the house, like, playing the music? And I was like, I'd probably lock myself in a room, and I'd call the cops. I was like, don't fuck with me on this. I will take it serious.
Indeed. Well, you know, we were discussing factory stuff for this movie, and we were thinking, you know, what about, like, back in the day when, like, Freddy versus Jason was coming out in 2003, the talk of the town was, who would, like, what's next? Michael Myers, like, who would he fight? And that's what we're gonna, do today. That's gonna be our factory, is Michael Myers versus question mark.
Michael Myers versus question mark. What's the best person to pin him up against? I think the funniest, let's talk Michael Myers' strengths. Our tale of the tape. Michael Myers, very tall, very strong, can take a hit, right? But stalking is his prime feature, right? He's silent killer. When they know he's coming, that's when they win. I.e. Lori, how she won. She knew he was coming.
Yeah, prep.
Yeah.
Have time to prep.
Yeah. Instead, you know, like, fucking Kevin McAllister would beat Michael Myers if he had time to prep. Ultimately, you gotta find someone that would be able to not be Michael Myers that quick, but also, and I think the perfect one gotta be in lieu of this thing getting its most recent series, it gotta be Chucky, right? Chucky versus Michael Myers, because Chucky kind of has to stalk and work his way through and plan his attacks, but he's like it's like a David Goliath thing. You got this big 7 foot tall killer, and then this little toy that can't seem to die.
Yeah, and you know, with Chucky, you got the more manic side. He's got speed. He's got the speed advantage for sure. And he's just a little more wild and crazy. But Michael does have the size advantage. He's got the strength advantage. So that's the most, like, interesting one of, like, if you're comparing slashers to go up against each other. I was thinking, what about Michael Myers versus Mothra?
Is that a horror movie character?
Mothra, you know, Godzilla and Mothra. And
yeah,
such.
That's what I'm saying. Is that a horror movie character?
I was just trying to get a reaction out of you.
Godzilla versus Mothra versus Michael Myers. Isn't that like Godzilla versus King or Frankenstein or something? Wasn't that a movie?
No, it was Frankenstein. Frankenstein versus the world.
Ah.
There's Frankenstein, and he fights a Baragon. But anyway, it's like a giant kaiju man.
Named Frankenstein.
Yeah. I was thinking Chucky makes a lot of sense. But you know what? I'm going to have a protagonist character. You know, Freddy versus Jason, two antagonists. Chucky, Michael, makes sense. But what about Michael Myers versus Ash? Ash Williams in the Evil Dead franchise.
Does Ash have time to prep?
He doesn't need time to prep, baby.
Does he have his boomstick, or does he have the chainsaw?
He's got both.
Okay. Are we talking old Ash or Evil Dead 2 Ash or Evil Dead 3 Ash?
That's, let's say it's coming out today, so they're both old farts. They're both in their 60s.
Old Ash. All right. I'm going to give it to Michael Myers in that fight.
Yeah.
He could shoot him with that chainsaw. He could shoot him with that chainsaw. Unless he's got, like, the Haas Delgado chainsaw gun. It's not going down. Haas Delgado would win.
Ah, there you go. Haas Delgado versus Michael Myers.
Nobody was born cool, except, of course, Yeah, Delgado would beat him in a heartbeat. One that I see all the time is Pinhead, and I don't even necessarily know what Pinhead does. I've never watched the Hellraiser movies.
He's like a general of Hell's Army, and you know he's
something
he's,
with Pandora's Box.
Yeah, yeah. I have.
You ever watched those movies? Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen pretty much the first one. I've seen most of the movie, but then I watched one of these series I like to watch where because Hellraiser is actually a book, and it compares the book to the film and it, like, goes through all the details and stuff. So I've seen that. But yeah, Pinhead, Hellraiser, and the
Pinhead Larry, now you get yours.
Yeah, he's just basically a good general of Hell's Army and has all these hell powers. I don't know why they would want to do like Pinhead versus Michael Myers, because yeah. Pinhead is like way too super powerful.
The obvious choice would be like Jason, like Freddy. Yeah, Freddy, sure, maybe, but Jason versus Michael Myers seems like the obvious choice for the job.
Freddy and Jason, they did that because they were the two most powerful, or powerful, popular. They were two most popular at the time, and they both had supernatural elements to them, and they were owned by the same studio. But
too easy, baby.
Yeah. So yeah, Michael Myers and Jason, that would make a lot more sense. But honestly, getting down to it, set it back in the day. Gonna say it now. Michael Myers versus Mothra. That's it.
Michael Myers versus Mothra. Mothra from Godzilla GMK. From GMK, where he kills Mothra, kills all those Japanese teenagers.
Yes, yes. He is a slasher character, yeah.
Yeah. If you don't know what we're talking about, go watch it. But they kind of had it coming because they tried to kill a dog.
Yeah, that's Michael Myers' job.
Yeah.
That's food.
That's what they do. Michael Myers would be about to kill the dog, and Mothra would show up.
I was going to agree with you with Michael Myers versus Chucky, but Michael Myers versus Mothra just makes a lot more sense to me.
Makes loads and loads of sense. I mean, I think Chucky is one that comes to mind because these two characters, Michael Myers and Chucky, are my two like childhood fears. Those are my big ones. Chucky was always my biggest, and then
childhood fears.
Yeah, even that new series coming out, I'm like, I don't care for it. I would say though, as I got older, I've watched Child's Play once. Since I've gotten a little older, and I thought it was enjoyable and kind of funny because it's so cheesy by today's standards, and Brad Dourif is just goofy, so to speak. But it's still creepy. It creeps me out. It's the design of Chucky that creeps me out. But that's where I would have to go, because that would be like a meeting of the mega powers. You know, the people the two characters I don't like the most. Ghostface would be pretty good as well. You get Ghostface in there against Michael Myers, you know. But ultimately, I'd have to go with Chucky.
You know, just for your sake and in your greatest fears, let's just go with that.
All right, that is that then. All right, anything to say before we get going?
That is about it for me.
All righty. So that is the show. We hope you enjoyed it. If you liked what you heard, be sure to check us out over on Audioboom. That's our primary site. That's where we're posting the show to, and then subsequently it gets posted out everywhere else. So Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts, hey, we're there. You can also find us over on Twitter. We are at The Bros Movie Pod. That's where we'll be posting links to the show, clips of the show, and memes Gus makes. We're at The Bros Movie Pod. You can also find us over on Facebook.
Hey, go to Facebook and type in The Brothers Movie Factory. We will be there. I see your dog there.
Yes.
The dog will be there too if you type in The Brothers Movie Factory.
Probably not.
On Facebook. Probably not. Yes, I like to make memes while we're watching each every week, as well as include links to the things Ben mentioned a moment ago, like Audioboom, Spotify, Twitter, and that.
So that is the show. We hope you enjoyed it. But until next week, brothers.
Brothers.
Brr. Hers.